Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Melanie Radford. Known for her work with Built to Spill and Blood Lemon, her debut solo album, For the Sake of Stillness, is out now. With the haste and motion of constant touring demanding more of her time and more space in her life, Radford felt the need for quiet and reflection. Taking long walks in cities and finding comfort in both natural spaces and neighborhoods, she collected field recordings as she traveled, using them as foundations for compositions which spotlight her bass playing and vocal abilities. The result is an album that never feels rushed and on which her voice and careful compositional choices create a space of comfort and solitude for listeners. We recently spoke about the writing of For the Sake of Stillness, the potential she sees in bass as an instrument, and the joy of having friends to share the pursuit of music with. That's Melanie Radford on Into Music, coming up now. So, kind of, I guess, on the side of solitude is this record. Thank you for making it. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what kind of inspired this batch of music?
I think I have been feeling like a little displaced in different touring schedules, and we've just been touring a lot, and for the past like 3-4 years, and I love it. It's the best job in the world, but it definitely weighs on you if you're like a very empathetic person and you feel things deeply, and you can feel very ungrounded all the time. And I think like when I kind of dove into the solo stuff, it was just what I was naturally writing was really calming music on my bass. And since that's what was naturally coming out of me, I decided to pursue it and just make a whole record out of that.
Okay. I wondered about that connection of you and the bass, because it's so present and so much a focal point. And it's like, yeah, I could almost imagine that it would be that thing, like, I don't know, when I was a teenager getting home from my fast food job and grabbing my guitar and just being like, I need to get this out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually how I write. And it's usually just by myself on the bass. I usually have like either the bass part figured out or a vocal melody, and then I try to meld them together. That's always been my starting point for writing. I always start on the bass. So it's been really fun to kind of like let that be it. Versus in the past projects that I've done, I'm very much more of a collaborator. So things may start on the bass, but I need to really like give it over to other people to express themselves and put themselves on the song, and which is really great too. But it's been a really fun exercise for me to just let me be me and let the bass be the songwriting instrument, which is honestly something that I don't think people utilize enough. I think people kind of write off the bass as like this limited instrument, but it's not. It's incredibly unlimited to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think even people always talk about Paul McCartney's bass playing, but I'm pretty sure he writes most things on guitar. And yeah, there is something about the range of the bass. And to me, it's closer to a lot of the frequencies in the human voice. It feels warmer and so forth and closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a warmth to it. The same can be like said about the cello. They're both the bass and the cello are instruments that are like are warmer and reflect the human voice more, like you said. And just if you isolate them, they can feel really intimate. Yeah. And I think like, I don't know, it's funny. I was thinking about this and it just seems like when I say that this material is like singer-songwriter, but on the bass. I think a lot of people just kind of assume that I'm playing chords over on the bass, like all four strings playing chords. And I am not interested in playing the bass like a guitar. I'm interested in playing the bass like a bass and letting that be enough for a solo song. Yeah, I just don't want to like limit myself in that way, if that makes sense. But yeah, so it was really fun to be able to kind of tap into minimalism and warmth in the way that you're talking about in terms of texture too.
I don't know that I hear a lot of bass in the spectrum where it's placed on this record, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, it's so beautiful in this context and it has such a beautiful sound. Why don't we hear more of this, you know, in general?
It's tricky for one thing, like for mixing frequency wise. I think a lot of us are used to hearing higher timbre things or voice being at the front. But for this material, I really just wanted to play around with where things are placed in the mixing. And like the bass, I just wanted it to be way more up front, and maybe even my vocals be back more. I'm a huge fan of Grouper, and she is kind of the leading ambient singer-songwriter that has really shown people how to use like saturation and use the vocals as like a like an accessory kind of instrument and not the front of everything. And I just found that really intriguing because it's very anti-pop in that way. And I really just wanted to explore that more, you know? And it was fun to figure out when was it appropriate to bring the bass forward and the voice back, or vice versa, or together, you know?
What we hear on the album, does this represent the kind of full body of things that you wrote, or were these kind of taken down from, you know, a lot more pieces?
This was kind of the first time that I was recording and writing at the same time, too. That's what you hear. So in a way, they could have just been demos, but I remember listening through everything and just thinking like this needs to be the record. You know, I don't think I could have gone into a studio and recreated these feelings. So a lot of it did start out to be very minimalist and not a whole lot of instrumentation. And I either kept it that way or I added little bits and pieces, like in Sink and Swallow. That was a song that I decided, like, okay, maybe I'll have a little bit of a full band on this. So I added pedal steel and drums and cello and some layers of vocals and synth. But I did not want to put guitar in it because I just felt like that would be a very typical thing to do for a song like that. And again, I really wanted to let the bass kind of take over part of that frequency too. It's all about just like kind of making room for it and letting it shine more in a unexpected way.
Now, did you know that this was something that you wanted to release, or was there maybe a period where you felt like, you know, I'm just happy having this as something that I've done?
I started writing solo stuff when I was like 21, and I did a solo performance in Boise, and it kind of sparked this interest in me that I hadn't experienced before, but I still wasn't confident enough in pursuing it, so I just let it lay for a really long time. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I felt way more confident in myself to make a record like this. And I think for a long time, I've always wanted to make a record like this. But it was only recently that I was like, again, like I just felt more actually confident enough to do it. Because I knew it was going to be weird and people would either love it or they just won't get it. But yeah, I think it really, it's been a long time coming.
Well, and I have to imagine that it's satisfying to be in a situation where you can kind of be a full musician and work in different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they don't have to necessarily overlap in terms of audience or in terms of approach or anything. It's like, these are all different parts of me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had moments where I'm like, man, I hope I don't confuse people. But it's really surprising how there's so much crossover now between Built to Spill and Blood Lemon and now my solo stuff. I think, for honestly, Built to Spill fans, at the root, they're music fans. So it's one of the reasons why every time we bring like a new opener with us, our audience just like embraces them. And they do really well. And all of our openers are always really surprised at like how well they do. And it's just because, again, the audience is just really interested in like real, true indie rock, or just like indie as a sense of like independent bands playing that aren't like signed to a big label yet. Like the freshness of it all. I think that's what a lot of people that love Built to Spill are also drawn to. So it's been surprising, I think, every time, even for me, whenever I'm releasing new music, it's been really cool to see the crossover with Built to Spill fans like still loving it too, you know. But I think for me as a musician, I've always wanted like versatility, and I've always been striving for that as a bass player especially. But I'm kind of reaching a point right now where I'm just more interested in like finding what I have to say and like what makes my bass playing unique now. Because I've been playing like all these different genres and these different bands and collaborating in all these different settings. But right now I'm not really, I don't know. I really want to find what makes my playing unique. And I feel like this record is a really good example of that, finally.
How much sort of like classical training do you have?
It's definitely in my playing. When I started playing bass in like seventh grade, I immediately joined the jazz ensemble in my middle school. And then in high school, I learned how to play the upright too, because I learned that to get into college, they want you to be able to play both. So I learned how to play the upright. I was in orchestra, I was in band, I was in jazz band, I was playing music for the musicals. I was just super involved in the music department. So naturally, I just wanted to study it in school. So I went to college, and 5 years, I got my master's degree in music business, which is just like a music minor and a business minor put together in a major. And so I guess like my classical training is pretty long. It's been a long time going through it, kind of ingrained in me. So when I play the electric, there's things that I do. If you watch, there's a little bit of upright technique that I use when I'm playing the electric still. Like I like to use vibrato still, and I find that very effective depending on the kind of bass you're using. And it allows me to be a lot more expressive in my playing. And that very much just comes from my classical training for sure. Yeah, and just like understanding etudes and what context you can use them in terms of songwriting. And like in this album, I have a song called Home that basically is like, I wrote it thinking of all the etudes that I had to play sitting at home when I was in college. And I just wrote my own that made me feel and think of my home. Yeah. So it kind of surprises me sometimes the way that it comes out, like my classical training. It's not like super obvious, because of course I have like a lot of other influences in classic rock and stuff, but yeah, definitely it comes out quite a bit.
Was it always the bass that you were just like, I have to have that? Yeah. Wow.
For real. Yeah. Like pretty immediately. And I've never felt a need to play like literally anything else. Like, because I think, I don't know, I was really into, gosh, when I was in, was it middle school? So I was really into The Police, and I was into The Who, and I was into Rush. And both, all three of those bands have crazy bass players, and all three of them are very much a part of my DNA now. But Yeah, like I was just always drawn to the bass. A little bit because I was also a very shy person and I wanted to play like an instrument that didn't require me to be at the very front all the time. But then when I got more comfortable with the instrument, I really loved like the sound of it as a solo instrument. And so it was like a springboard to like Jaco Pastorius, you know, and other jazz bassists. And yeah, and I just, again, I never felt the need to play any other instrument because I kind of just felt like the bass could do anything. And I still feel that way. I do feel lucky. Like I feel like some people start off on an instrument and it gets them to one point, and then it's almost like they eventually find their instrument and then that's like what they focus on. And for me, it was just like this very immediate thing. So I feel really lucky that I found it so quickly. But I do sometimes wish that I was like really good at like other instruments too. I'm like proficient on other instruments, but yeah, it's interesting how musicians are kind of meant to either find their instrument or like be more of a branch off of others, you know.
It's funny too sometimes. So I have a friend who's a very accomplished mandolin player, but he picked it up as like a lark. And his first instrument is guitar. So some years ago, he was gigging out as a guitarist, and people were like, "You're pretty good at guitar." And he's like, "I've been playing it for 30 years. I've been playing mandolin for eight."
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's so weird when you find like the thing that comes so naturally to you, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, he's just one of those people that, I mean, you give him a metal box and he'll make music out of it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I hate those people.
How do you feel about like trying to perform some of this live, put in a live setting and
It was a little bit of a challenge conceptualizing how I was going to do it. Because I mean, when I went into recording this record, I was like, oh, I'm going to probably just do this by myself. But then there were so many like voices that I wanted to add a little bit on top to give it more texture and more interest in the song. So now I kind of have two different settings when I do it live. I either do it as a duo, and right now the duo is me, vocals and bass, field recordings, and my friend Jim Roth, who was one of the original guitarists in Built to Spill. He plays pedal steel, and he played on the record as well. When we perform it live together, he's doing pedal steel and he's doing drone on different kind of pedals and stuff. It's so cool how he's been able to like really enhance these songs. I'm like so grateful to work with him. So that's the one setting, like kind of the easiest setup. And then I have a full band setup, and that's what is going to kind of premiere this Friday when the album comes out. I'm doing a full band performance in Seattle, and it's basically the setup that is featured in Sink and Swallow. So like vocals, bass, pedal steel, cello, and drums. And yeah, it was really fun to, I don't know, figure out how to make it work with my friends. Everyone's just been so generous in like learning the songs. And my friend Lupe is playing drums. She's a fantastic drummer. In Seattle. And then on cello is Lori Goldston, who is a hero of mine. She is an amazing cellist rooted in drone, and she has very she's come up a lot in the doom metal scene in Seattle. Her solo material is gorgeous, and she's worked with bands like Earth. She was actually Nirvana's cellist for the MTV Unplugged performance. So she is crazy cool, and it's a huge honor to have her playing with me on this and also to record on the album too. So yeah, so it was just fun to like put it all together, you know, in a way that like felt succinct, and I'm excited. I'm really excited to show people.
isn't that great when you have friends who are also talented at the thing that you love?
Yeah, totally. It feels like a huge privilege to be able to do that, you know. And to connect with people in that way is so special. Like, yeah, it's one of the most like intimate kind of connections I think you can have with people. is collaborating musically and giving that trust, to other people to do your song justice. And I think I'm really lucky that I've experienced that myself with playing with Doug in Built to Spill. He's given me so much trust in his songs and, so much friendship. And I think like playing in these kind of settings in a band setting or a solo setting, you're sharing so much. So it's like this just beautiful push and pull and teamwork.
You've been listening to a conversation with Melanie Radford. Her debut solo album, For the Sake of Stillness, is out now. You can find out more about her at her official website, melanieradford.com. You can also find out how to order For the Sake of Stillness at that website by clicking the word stillness at the top of her homepage. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson.